Josh. Glad you're here.
I say glad I'm here.
I'm glad you're here.
Thank you.
It's great. Yeah. So let's pick up with the discussion of the Ramban in Drasha Starsh Shem Tamima. Josh, why are you smiling?
Very good.
Great. So I'll share a thought that I want to broaden the main thesis that we've been developing about the definition of Torah, what's included in the concept. Let me just say even more broadly than that. I do think one of the main goals of Lundis, or analysis, Josh and I were talking about this, is to clarify and define more precisely the concepts that we use crudely and imprecisely. I think that's one of the goals of Lundis. So for example, the Torah will just talk about din or something, a halacha, and then the job of analysis is to get more precise about the concepts at work. You know, are they din in the chepza, are they din in the gabra, are they din in the kiyam, are they din in the maisa? That's what a lot of Lundis attempts to do. So you're subjecting the broad terms, the broad categories, to microscopic scrutiny, which allows you to understand it more carefully. Now, sometimes we do that for halachos that are very recondite, very obscure, very specialized. But you also have to do that for some of the most main, for the main concepts and the most basic concepts of halacha and Judaism. In this case, what are we scrutinizing?
Definition of Torah.
Yeah, what's the definition of Torah? That word is thrown around so cavalierly, it's used so frequently, right? We always talk about the importance of Talmud Torah and Kabbalah Torah. And Torah is a pretty big deal in Judaism, but what is meant by the term? What is it? What does it encapsulate? So we've been seeing, I think, is a major view in the Rishonim that the concept of Torah is more than just the dinim prescribed by, let's say, the Shulchan Aruch, by the Gemara. And the concept seems to encompass this idea of Chachma. I'll just add that we saw with the Rambam in Mitzvaseh Yud Aleph, I believe. Anybody have the Rambam's formulation there, Mitzvaseh Yud Aleph? It's on, it was certainly on our Talmud Torah source sheet. Ali Malach, do you remember the Rambam's formulation? Mitzvaseh Yud Aleph? No? Maybe if we had some Chazar Shirim, the Olam would be better prepared.
I tried to give him Wednesday, he didn't get a shir. Just saying.
You should take responsibility, Romy, not look to deflect responsibility.
Is there anything we can tell me that's not supposed
to Yeah, what does the Rambam say there? Mitzvaseh Yud Aleph?
Beyond
Lil mode, yeah, Lil mode, Mitzvaseh is Lil mode. Yeah, Chachmas HaTorah. All right, so you can see there's that interesting inclusion of the idea of Chachmas HaTorah, not just like Torah itself, but the wisdom of the Torah. Now, you could interpret that phrase as it's referring to maybe like a subset of Torah, like there's the non-Chachma aspects of the Torah, and there's Chachmas HaTorah. Or maybe he means that like the Torah itself is like literally like, when you say like the wisdom of the Torah, you mean that the Torah itself is some manifestation of Chachma, of wisdom. If you look at the Rambam elsewhere, so do you remember the Rambam's in Hilchos Tshuva that we saw it, and the Rambam in the end of Hilchos Malachim? When he talks about the vision of Yemos HaMashiach or Olam Haba. Anybody remember the Rambam's formulation? What, Ned? Yeah, what's the formulation there? What? Here, look at the Rambam in Tshuva Parakas Halacha Beis. I'll take that. I'll paste it onto the sheet for a second on page 21. Right before the Joshua of Tarsha Shem Tamim, I'll paste it. Does everybody see where I am? Let's get a volunteer to read this. Parak Tes Lacha Beis. Mipnei Zeh Nisab Kol Yisrael Nevi'eyem B'Chachameyem Limos HaMashiach. Why not? Kidei. Okay, v'yim tu lahem nirgoa. Okay, so notice it's v'yirbu b'chachma. So notice how the Rambam seems to move interchangeably here from under Shibud Malchios, we're prevented from being osik b'tor b'mitzvos kahogen. And in Nimos HaMashiach, we'll find mirgoa, breathing space, calmness, the yirbu b'chachma k'desha yisku l'chayelam haba. Doesn't it sound like he's right in the symmetrical contrast between what you're lacking under Shibud Malchios and what you're gaining under the security and safety of Nimos HaMashiach? He goes from osik, lacking osik b'torah to yirbu b'chachma. Lefish of osan hayamim. Tarbe hadeya v'hachachma v'ha'emes. Right, so what's increased in those days is chachma das and emes. And he quotes the pasuk, of course, kimala ha'aretz deya es Hashem, which means the increase in chachma. So there seems to be some interchanging here of Torah and Chachma in the Rambam's usage. Josh, you agree?
Yeah.
Okay, let me give another example. The Rambam in the end of Malachim, I believe there too, he talks about the vision for Yemos HaMashiach. Yeah, halacha dalid. Parak Yud Beis, halacha dalid. I'll add it here to the... It's very similar to what he just said in Hilchos Shuva. Lo nesavu chacham van vimimos mashiach, lo kadei sheyishtu akol olam, lo kadei sheyirdu ba'akum, lo kadei sheyinasu osana amim, lo kadei lecha v'lishas v'lismoach, lo kadei sheyu pnuyim b'tora v'chachma. So that we should be free in Torah and Chachma. It's funny how in Hilchos Tshuva he spoke exclusively about Chachma, and here he says Pnuyim b'Torah b'Chachma, Kedei Sheyizku l'Chayelam Haba, Kimo Shebiyarnu b'Hilchos Tshuva, as we explained in Hilchos Tshuva. And he says how in those days Lo Yeh Esek Kol HaOlam El Ladas Es Hashem Bilvad. That same idea of Deyas Hashem through Torah and Chachma. So this, I think, is pretty consistent with the Rambam, as he says in Hilchos Talmud Torah, in the midst of Talmud Torah, it's a little more Chachma Satorah Lalamda. So you get this interchangeability of these two, of these concepts. I take it that a lot of the concerns raised in last year were suggesting that they think this, you guys think this is too revisionary, or too out of sync with how people normally think of Torah? Is that some of the concerns?
I don't think it's a concern. I don't think it's meant to be a kasha on what you're saying. It's just interesting. You can put it the other way. Wow, this is, given this is true, it's crazy that everybody else does something else.
Doesn't see it this way.
Right. I don't think it's a kasha on this.
Yeah. So I want to say the following. So number one, it is an interesting question to what extent... We should look at this in halacha itself. Are there statements that seem to distinguish between chachma and Torah? Like chachma bagoyim tamin, Torah bagoyim al tamin. So how do you square that with statements that seem to identify the two? Right? So that's an important project to undertake. But I think what I'm wondering is what motivates the view to say that Torah is limited to moral instruction, similar to the way Ned wants to limit Nevi'im to Musar. Like, why would you think that the concept of Torah is circumscribed to moral teachings, to normative obligations?
I think it's intuitive.
You think it's intuitive?
Yeah.
Why? The word Torah just means the teachings, no?
Right, but I'm saying, like, you know, the Torah was given in our
Sinai as a code to live in.
You just made all that up.
I mean, I didn't make that up.
Where does it say as a code to live in?
It says like you have to follow the Torah or else you're going to get kicked out of Eretz Israel, doesn't it?
Like the Torah.
So clearly their Torah doesn't mean...
it says to follow, you're saying?
Yeah, the Torah.
This is like, so you're saying it implies doing?
Yeah.
And it can't be the doing of Yedias Hashem?
I mean, I assume...
Where does it say follow? What's the... Well, are you pointing to something specific? Or just...
Like, Tavarim, I don't know, like the Yedias Hashem.
Well, that'd be like, you know, listening to my instructions. So it isn't part of the instruction. Understanding my... Yeah, that's Shema Yisrael in the sense of understand, right? Shema could also mean understanding my instruction, understanding my Chachma.
When the Nevi'im kick out the Jews for not, or when God kicks out the Jews for not following the Torah, it wasn't because they failed to, smush some electrons together and create a new element. It's because they failed in the... basic ethical.
Well, I'm saying that there are multiple ways to fail, right? You could fail at the study of the instruction. You could fail at the execution of the normative obligations. Of course, I'm not denying that there's an element of tzivuyim and mitzvos and normative. The question is, why should that exhaust the concept of Torah?
You're saying, this could very well be part of Torah. I'm saying, locally, what he's doing.
But that could
just be the type of concerns that he's dealing with are not these concerns.
What do you mean? Yadah shor koneyu and Yisrael lo yadah ba'alav? Like, that's a failure in your knowledge of the Boreola.
Let me put it this way, from them. He's dealing with an earlier stage. Where they don't have they're not going to be making these certain moral directives before you get to this higher knowledge. So he's dealing with that lower stage.
Right. I mean, that's an easier way of saying it. But I don't think there's anything. We have to look at that. We have to scour all of Tanakh then to see if there's some reason to limit the meaning of Torah here.
It's not a living, but it's like more modern thing.
What?
Isn't it like a more modern thing that the last story that you use in the agenda, every single Muslim is it's all about a Bittul Torah and that's the language that we use all the time.
Maybe they mean Bittul Chachma.
Do they?
I don't know. Alright. Anyways, I think it's just worth thinking about why you guys have a knee-jerk reaction in opposition to this this notion. I see no prima facie no a priori reason to limit Torah to the moral instruction.
I'm not saying
right.
I'm just saying.
I think that's right.
I'm just saying this particular instance. Believe to the Masei that Torah wrote is not referencing this kind of failure.
There are times that Torah means this more limited version. It doesn't mean that Torah always.
Right. We'd have to look. Just like mitzvos. Mitzvos like sometimes mean a particular instruct command. All right. So that's worthwhile trying to nail that down. Anyways, let's return to the Ramban's drasha on page 23 of Drasha's Torah Shem Tamima. We gave some background that the Ramban thought that he's trying to uncover here what is the significance of Torah. Right, ma hayakar v'akavod hazeh. What's special about it?
Includes everything, or it's the pirei piros.
Yeah. So the extraordinary thing that he started off with was to say that what's so special about Torah? A lot of nations seem to have rules that are similar to the Torah. They have norms for society, and his answer was to actually embrace the assumption that those things are manifestations of the Torah. There are peros haTorah or perei peros shelah, and he went so far as to say, "Kol ma shehanivrayim yodim umevinim, kulam peros haTorah o peru peros shelah." I can't emphasize enough how extraordinary of a statement that is of the Ramban. That whatever is known and whatever is understood is a derivative of the Torah. That's consistent with what he said in his Akdama to Bereishis. That the Memtes, Shari Bina, Shari Chachma are Nichlalim in Torah. And we saw Rabbeinu Bachya's remarkable statement that if the Torah were Chaser in any of these Chachmos, it could not have been called Tamima. Okay. And the Ramban continued to claim that but for the Torah, human beings would not have intellectual achievements to distinguish them from animals. That was the claim. To me, that suggests not that there's something specific about a ketosa choshen or chayim that distinguishes the human mind from the animal mind, but that he thinks any type of intellectual enlightenment, sophistication, knowledge, etc., is what he calls peros haTorah or peri peros shela. Okay? Now, this is borne out in the Ramban's explication of when he goes through the Torah itself. So this is all his programmatic statement. This is the Ramban hypothesizing, where he's just giving it to us as doctrine. It's kind of funny, by the way, that I think the Ramban's formulation here is actually stronger or more explicit than the Rambam's, statements about Torah and Chachma here. Because Ramban's explicit that all the Chachma is contained within Torah, more so than the what we saw in the Rambam at Maisa Bereishis, Maisa Merkava.
Well,
so.
The Ramban is that it's sort of genetic factor.
No. The Ramban's explicitly saying that any Chachma that exists is part of the concept of Torah. I don't think the Rambam said anything that explicit.
He thinks the same thing.
He probably thinks the same thing, correct. But let's put it this way. There's an interesting question whether you think the Rambam would limit it to a subset of Chachma, like Maisa Bereishis, Maisa Merkava, as Pardes, and that's Bechlal Torah. What about Chachma if neither Maisa Bereishis nor Maisa Merkava? What would the Rambam say about it? Yeah, history is interesting. History is interesting.
I don't think they would. I don't know
the concept
of history. Is.
The Ramban. The Ramban definitely does, though. Right? Psychology is an interesting question.
But is it only sciences?
What?
Why is it only sciences?
Who, the
Ramban? Oh, no, the
Ramban.
They have
this. I don't think the Ramban is just sciences. Okay. We'll see that the Ramban seems to think it's more than that. What?
It's a very modern way of thinking that the history is distinct from the world science.
Well, from the Rambam, all we have, right? The Rambam just builds up Maisa Bereishis as science and Maisa Merkava as metaphysics, right? It's our generalization that maybe he, when he talks about Chachma, he means Chachma writ large. The Ramban is different. The Ramban says there's all whatever Chachma there's out there, and he gave us a lot of examples. There's like Dhamma to Bereishis, right? These Mem Tesh Sharim, which he said about laws about. We'll see more here. But I think a more encompassing set of subject matter than the Rambam delineated.
Why does Rambam think it's necessary to make Torah into this ginormous collection of all wisdom?
Repository of wisdom.
Does he ever show that the Torah actually contains the wisdom of politics, the wisdom of history, the wisdom...
So what he does in the Drashas Torah Shem Tamima. Do you prepare this for Shir?
No, but extensively. The Torah does not, on the face of it, seem to contain. I know that there is. Does not seem to contain the kinds of wisdom that you would study in a normal, physics world.
Maisa Bereishis.
That's not physics. It's just not.
Not?
It's a cute story.
Maisa Bereishis is a cute story?
No. It needs to be developed. You want to tell the story.
You don't think photons create
that's
light that are different from darkness?
Yes, but that's not in the Torah. That's because of the Western scientific enterprise.
Right, it's by Abdel Kim Ben Arben Achushev.
But that, the wisdom of understanding how those discoveries came as a result of an entire scientific process that has its own set of assumptions separate seemingly from the Torah, because I've never seen the Torah make the assumptions needed to arrive.
Were you in the last few Shirim?
I missed some Shirim.
Right, so aren't you just asking the Azraeli question about where is it in Torah Shabbat Sav?
I think the assumption thing is interesting.
Isn't that what you're asking? You're asking how do you derive, but isn't that the same question for Reb Chaim?
I think the assumptions thing is actually defensible.
Which thing?
The question of assumptions might be defensible. People have written about how.
What do you mean by the question of assumptions?
How could we actually, might ask the question of, if everything is being very, very thorough, then how can we where do we see that in the scientific, study of history of science, and where are those, where do we see that in the Torah?
Are you asking the same thing?
No.
That's the reverse.
saying if we admit to the Ramban's claim that everything is really derivative of Torah, then we can ask how that works out, right? To figure out the cause.
I don't know what you're asking. What are you asking when you ask the to see if it's a derivative of Torah? What are you looking to find?
Like
what would that experiment look like?
He's looking for
in a very simplistic way, that's obviously not true.
I'm trying to understand what you're meaning.
You would see that he said he was Dorish and then I'm saying that's not happening.
You missed the whole purpose of the last five years.
I understood the purpose of the point. I understand it's about the definition of Torah, not about the Israeli question, I guess.
Then why is your project relevant? The whole point is that you're not. Look, it's not like Newton is doing Hagba, and between the Parshios Stumos and the Parshios Psufos. No, it means that when the Ribono Shel'olam created the world, there was the stock of the rice of Bara Alma, right? What does that? What does that include? It includes
the natural world.
Yeah, like the DNA of the natural world is a Chafsa Shel Torah. That's what it means.
Yeah,
so when Newton did his scientific experiments, he was discovering truths of Torah. Just like when Reb Chaim was doing his Brisker experiments, he was discovering truths of Torah and the categories that he unearthed.
Well, if there's truths of Torah, doesn't
it have to be... So what do you want to do? You're trying to find...
I'm not trying to find
Newton doing Galila?
I'm not trying to find the artist on, Yerushalmi. That's not the thing. But if you ask philosophy of science...
I think that's where Akiva's gone. Right, Akiva's looking for that. I just think that's like the wrong project.
You're trying to link it up to like the actual written Torah, but I don't think. I mean,
hey, like, what does that do with Torah Shebichsav? That's what I'm trying to understand. Mm-hmm. You're talking about Torah Shebichsav now?
We're just talking about this metaphysical Torah that everything links up to it. So like,
right.
It's not a claim that you can argue or agree with because it's just
right. It's a theory, right?
Well,
the same for the Torah.
Can't argue with the theory.
What?
Can't argue. With
no, you could argue with the. I'm not here. To do an empirical verification of whether the Ramban's theory is empirically verified. But that's not, I'm not trying to figure out like that we could look out in the world and falsify or validate the Ramban's theory. I'm trying to understand like within the body of the Jewish tradition, is there legitimacy resonance to the Ramban's thesis that Torah itself has this broad definition. Just like I can't look out in the world and verify whether there's a Torah that's Eish Shkor El Gabe Eish Levana, of which our reading of the Torah is one instantiation of. Right?
Why do you need both? I mean, Ramban thinks that all of... Is his claim about Chasmas HaTorah? That Chasmas HaTorah is one body? Or is the claim, because then you shouldn't need to say that you're dashing out in the Talmud or anything like that.
Ramban?
You shouldn't need to say that if you think that the Torah, by definition, is not just a text.
Right.
So those are two seeming to be kind of consistent with each other. No?
Well, let's see the Ramban say that. Let's try to be a little more careful on that. Mm-hmm. It's an interesting question. You're right that the Ramban seems to want to say that Torah Shebichsav. I'm not actually sure the Ramban says that even. Like whether you could genuinely extract it all from Torah Shebichsav without a... Because he explicitly says in his Akdamot to Bereishis that you need a Kabbalah and you need some sort of received tradition.
No, he still says all the Bereishis content in the Kabbalah. Is that interpretive tradition? Is that
I think it was the facts. Like I think he thinks that certain facts about the natural world were given to Moshe Rabbeinu through Nebuas Moshe. Now, I'm totally okay saying that not all the facts were given over to Moshe Rabbeinu, just like I'm okay saying, this is what I was saying last year, that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't have to receive Reb Chaim's Chiddush on... Choose your favorite Reb Chaim.
Shtaros.
What?
Shtaros.
On Shtaros. Like, maybe, I think Moshe Rabbeinu probably got the Chiddush on two dinim and Kavano Shmonesra, because that's such an elementary distinction. So, like, Moshe probably had that, but I don't think you have to say that Moshe Rabbeinu had like a specific content of the Nebuah about Reb Chaim's Chiddush on Shtaros, about Eidos Shtar. He probably had some, to the extent that it's like a major principle of Shtaros and evidence, fine, so Moshe had some conception of it. So you don't have to say that Moshe had a deep, particular Nebuah about particles, some theory about solid state physics. He probably got the principles from which aspects of solid state physics are derivable. But that's just a question of how granular did every piece of information given over to Moshe Rabbeinu, how granular did that have to be? And whatever you think about it, whatever you think, whatever your view is about that with respect to the normative mitzvos type obligations of the Torah, you would say something similar for the pure Yediyah knowledge aspects of the Torah. Good?
That's opposed to the Tagin thing, right? To the interpreter's point.
Let's get to the Tagin if that's so concerning to you. All right. Let's pick up on page 24. The Ramban wants to say, based off that medrash about Unkelos that we read last year, "V'zeh emesu lefi sheyesh b'Torah sodos ma'ase bereishis shehizkir Unkelos, v'sod ma'ase merkava, v'sodos acherim rabim." The Torah has many deep principles, secrets. Ma'ase bereishis, like the Rambam said, ma'ase merkava, like the Rambam said, and notice v'sodos acherim rabim. Many other secrets. And here, I don't think the Ramban is claiming that his Torah should be chsav b'chlal. Shenamru mipeh el peh. Ve'enam nimsarim el l'chasud sheb Yisrael. I think the Ramban is telling you right away, Rumi, don't look for it in Torah should be chsav. This is all part of the Mesorah of what was originally given over to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay? Now, the Ramban wants to say that part of this Jewish tradition is that a katan sheb Yisrael is given privileged access about truths, the same types of truths that the philosophers are pursuing, but the Katan Sheb Yisrael gains better knowledge of those. That's the statement over here. Ein chachmei agayim v'hem ha-filosofim shehayu mei ha-filosofim achar Aristotle kulam einam yodim b'yitzira ma'she yodea Katan Sheb Yisrael. Okay? And then he goes on to say that most of the chachmos that are out there, meaning in the world, the purpose of those chachmos. So choose your favorite discipline that's taught at American universities. The purpose of those chachmos are to achieve proper yediyas habore. Kirov toela shara chachmos, einam ela liyo shalem hasagas chachma shekorin yediyas habore.
Who says that's Torah?
Nobody yet. Right now he's just saying that most of those chachmos, most chachmas out there is to serve towards Yediyas Hashem. Now, I think that makes sense as a theory. We should all accept that. You know, like to the extent that there's chachma manifested in the world, it's a manifestation of chachma sabore. I think it's totally defensible for somebody to take the view that maybe Hashem just created the world in some arbitrary way. Like there was no particular design that he had in mind. Well,
that nature doesn't exist.
Well, nature does exist, but maybe it's kind of what probably most naturalists believe, that it just evolved in some way by cooling hydrogen or carbon atoms.
But even that worldview still has laws. It's lawful.
It's lawful, but you don't have to say that it reflects the particular chachma of the designer. One could say that. I mean, the world was like a Jackson Pollock. You know, maybe Hashem just lit a match, let it explode and cool, and it just lawlessly solidified into the universe that we have. I don't think that's very compelling.
Even that Pope, it's not lawless.
Well,
it's not lawless. Everybody agrees that they're law of nature. Everybody agrees they're law.
But do they reflect some underlying chachma? Just like everybody agrees there's some design to a Jackson Pollock. I think it's a strange view. I don't think it's a true view.
Is it chachma into itself?
It is.
Not unlike Jackson Pollock. The whole idea that it would naturally end up in some certain way is
I think that is
like a planning match. That it would turn out that way.
I don't know. You never, you know.
You can have like random particle interactions, maybe randomly. They can develop into some like really coherent structure.
They could.
Yeah, could.
Right. I think that's what a lot of like Big Bang theorists think, right? So it's not my view. I mean, the same thing for. I think that's the Darwinian view is that maybe there's no deep chachma, there's just random mutations combined with social competition and natural selection.
Why isn't that deep chachma?
Why isn't that?
Why isn't that deep chachma?
Maybe it is.
You're just saying they don't attach chachma to the Godhead.
What?
You're saying they don't attach
Right. I mean, the stuff that you see in the world is not... One could say that what the quote-unquote chachma, the thing that facially looks like design, is actually not a manifestation of divine design. I think that's a defensible view. What? Correct? In which case, not studying nature and Ma'aseh Bereishis and all that stuff won't get you to Chachmas HaBorei. One could defend that view. I'm pointing out, I don't think that's the view of the Ramban, because their whole point, and the view of the Nevi'im and David HaMelech, because when you say HaShemayim Mesapre V'Kvod Kel Ma'aseh Yadav Magid Erekiah, when you say things like Ki'ere Shemecha Ma'aseh Etzpo Secha Mo'ad Yerushimcha B'chol Aretz, you're basically saying that there is chachma in the design that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to the universe around us. So the Rishonim here are, I think, full throttle committed to the conception that to the extent that there is chachmas out there, it's a manifestation of the chachma of the Borei. Meaning, the world is not just a Jackson Pollock. Now, that's what the Ramban is saying in this paragraph that I just read you, that... the purpose of these chachmos that are out here in this world are to have a shalem hasagas chachma shekorin yediyas habore, to be perfect through achieving proper wisdom of knowledge of Hashem. Okay, good. Now he goes on to say, the Ramban adds, ki heim nevalim yimeyan b'chachmas ha-higayon kidei shelo yitgu b'darkei hamofes. The Ramban is talking about, you can imagine as if, like Descartes says, that knowledge progresses in some sort of like a tree-like structure, where you have some more fundamental pieces of knowledge, like logic. That's what he takes to be chachmas ha'igayon. And then once you've mastered logic, you can move on to Chachmas Aminyan, Chachmas Amidos, what's that? Math? Yeah, geometry, numbers. And that's supposed to help you get to Chachmas HaGalgalim. What's that?
Astronomy.
I think it's astronomy. And also to things like engineering. Like things like Gova HaChoma, Omek HaBor, right? And those types of things are important for understanding the movement of the stars, etc. Then he gets into things about like biology and chemistry, achibor, v'apirud, v'aretz, v'ayishuv, and then things like lakus hamaoros, the brightness of the stars. Well, maoros, I think here just means the sun and the moon, well, and different stars. Now he says, what's the point of all those things? And then he says, from there, that you get to the Chachmas HaNigun. What's Chachmas HaNigun?
Music.
Yeah, Nigun, music. You know, the Ramban elsewhere in Torah Sa'adam has some very nice things to say about music. Ned, do you know what the Ramban says in Torah Sa'adam about music? What? You spend your time reading Uvikashta Misham before you read the end of Torah Sa'adam?
I didn't play the
it's a shanda. The Ramban says that... Kolmar v'reach ein behem ila, because they're intangible, and then he says that there are things that are just they're pure spirituality. He says they're so dak that like the soul apprehends them directly, and that's why like there's no me'ila, because there's nothing physical about. And then he says something like the reason why the Levi'im do shira through ikar shiras bechli, that view in the Gemara. He says, because it's supposed to be like an experience that's like me'en olam haba, so it's just like a pure spiritual experience.
Well,
it's in the end of Torah Adam when he talks about, he gets like hashkafik, not hafzavelos. The survival of the soul. Yeah, shark mob, yeah.
So he wouldn't like the people that try to turn into math.
What?
He wouldn't like the people that try to turn it into math.
Music.
Yeah.
Unless you think that math itself is like that type of aesthetic, something. What? Right. And you take from these things and then you get to Chachmas HaNigun. It's interesting, the Ramban talks about this and you should look what he says over there. It's really nice, Ramban. Okay, and the Ramban's point that he says the philosophers themselves acknowledge V'heim Atzma Modim Ki hatoeles gedola elu heim sheyevo b'mechkar lechachma shekorim b'masha acharat teva v'hi chachmas v'elokus. Like all this stuff of knowledge is it's only instrumentally important to get you into what they call chachma she'acharat teva, which is a good translation of metaphysics, after physics, acharat teva, or behind physics, which is chachmas elokus, right? Which he says includes the schalim hanivdalim, shem hamalachim, ad higio le'ilas le'ilos yisparach v'yisalem achuso v'yachareich nimsu abrurim imenu, until you get into the analysis of how God created the world, how the creatures depend on him for their existence. Many of the things that we saw in the Rambam in the first four chapters of Historia Torah. Now, the Ramban criticizes the philosophers that he says, V'yoldu lahem sveikos u'machlokas, they're not sure exactly about these important properties of God and the creations. He says, Ad ki rosham hayadua lo yuchalomar ima olam kadmon o machudash, o im birtsono hakadmos. Basically, Aristotle was masupuk about all these really important postulates about metaphysics. So even by pursuing all these chachmos independent of the Torah, like Aristotle hit some dead ends. That's Ramban's claim. By contrast, hine katan shebi Yisrael kara b'yitzira yoser. Now, she says a Jewish kid, by learning the Pesukim in Bereishis, knows more than what Aristotle was able to achieve through philosophy. In particular, that the world has an origin, and that Hashem is Kadmon, the world is Nivra Yesh Me'ayin, and that this child will know the order of creations, what was created Yom Rishon, what was created Yom Sheni, and more important than that, why is it important to know what's created on Yom Rishon, Yom Sheni? Because he thinks that creates a hierarchy of ki hakodem bibriya, it's supposed to be dak, min hasheni, ki hu netzal mimenu. What does that mean? Yeah, it's almost like, sometimes now in the 21st century, people like to say, maybe there's aspects of the way the Seder HaBriya of creation that would mimic something like the Big Bang, where you start with like the cosmological forces, like the planets, and then only later do you get life, and first like basic organic types of life, and then only like for even like the beginning, like Mayim versus Earth, and then only later do you get separations of things that would create living forms, like simple ones like plants, and then only later animals, and then only later humans. That's still set. So Ramban says, "Ki hu net sal mimenu." Right, each thing that comes later somehow is derived from the things that were created prior to it. So Ramban's point is that look, that's all really important, true, factual knowledge about Ma'aseh Bereishis, about like biology, cosmology. Josh, could you get behind that even?
Yeah.
Yeah, in some very elementary way.
I mean, I'm generally more of the view that, Bereishit is not meant to teach you any of that scientific stuff.
Yeah, so this is the crazy thing. I think there's so much ideology in the world that I think the Rav is partially at fault for this, and this is like a lot of the halachic mind framework, to actually try to create this epistemological pluralism, what he calls, which is like, don't think that the Torah is trying to do the same thing that scientists are trying to do. Right? And we're raised in that way to basically be, as almost a tool to deflect, oh, like how do you deal with the Torah's account of creation versus the way the scientists have it?
Yeah.
Right? That's why the Torah is trying to do something different. One second. The Ramban's whole point is contrary to that. And actually, the one piece Sacks writes a few things that I like, but one thing that he wrote that's very good is, like, I think one of his earliest pieces is a review of Halachic Mind, where he basically raises this point. He's like, the Soloveitchikian suggestion that science is operating in a totally different forum and world than what law, halacha, is trying to do. He's like, the Rambam and like medieval Jewish thinkers would have thought that's absurd.
Sacks makes that same thing.
Does he?
Yeah, he says that like scientists can't get to the why or to the values. It's only like the what's, and like only Torah can like teach you like what you should do with the power that you can find.
I think that's a different idea. We could talk about that. I think that's true. That's true about that. You know, the limits of science. Science can't get you more meta questions. Can't answer more meta questions. Right. So it's that's about whether that's against like the Steven Pinker. The people think that like science will explain everything type theorists. So I agree with that. But his point is that I think it, exactly what you're saying, which is like, no, the Torah is trying to give us some normative account of creation, not a factual account of creation, right? He points out, like the Rav, so Rabbi Sacks points out that the Rav makes it sound like there's these two arenas. There's the Torah arena, and then there's the facts about the world arena. And like they're doing different things. And his point is like if you read the Rambam, it's clearly he believes there's one arena, like the pursuit of truth, right? And I think the Ramban is, and basically the stuff we've been covering in Shir in the last few weeks, is also saying there's one arena, right? Like, true Chachma and Torah converge, and it'd be strange if they didn't. So that's what the Ramban's saying here. Actually, I think it's so meduyak. He's trying to say that it's a virtue of Torah Hashem Tamima, or to borrow his phrase, that Torah is Me'iras Einayim, in giving a katan b'Yisrael superior knowledge to the very same type of inquiry that the philosophers are pursuing. That's the one arena suggestion. Okay, shelo yuchlu chachmei shara umos letargama. Oh, sorry. And similarly, he says the katan b'Yisrael is yodea hayisodos kamahim. How many elements are there?
Four.
Well, he's thinking. The eighth or so. Good luck. You should work on as much to write about the periodic elements. See how much you can get out of my separations. If it's there. The eighth koach hayisodos koach shekaros am hachacham b'mila shelo yuchlu chachmei shara umos letargama. So the amount of things, and also like privileged insight into these elementary forces of chemistry. And here he's referring to the what? Did you get this thing about this hilic matter, the hiuli that the Ramban is bringing? What? Hilic? Hilic? So Ramban's very, very into that. And he'll explain it right here. Now, it could be that all this stuff is wrong and outdated and it's all Aristotelian. But again, our point here is less whether Ramban got the right framework correct and more about whether, like this search for chachma within Torah, correct?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, addition to the salvation thing, I think that we don't put the ideological thing that we're ingrained in us. That might derive from the scientific point that's not scientifically true, or the Israeli type point that you can't get. It doesn't actually lend itself to a real short understanding of creation.
Well, you see, so this is where I think I understand the objection, but I agree with the Rambam in Mor Nebuchim, where he says all knowledge has to be understood in light of background assumptions, background beliefs. That's the process of inquiry. So, like, what you believe about X is going to partially be determined based on what you believe about Y and Z. You're trying to formulate a coherent worldview. And that's every time we read a Gemara and it's contradicted by some other Gemara, so you have to miyashiv, right? So our interpretation of brachos daf beis might depend on our knowledge of something we'll learn, whether it's minhag, like reconciling with the minhag of people davening early before Zman Kriyat Shema, or something I've said in another Gemara somewhere, right? So I agree with the Rambam's statement that how you understand the Pesukim in Bereishis should be informed, at least in part, by what we know or think we know about the natural world. That's the Rambam's statement that, you know, don't think that he's accepting Bria Yesh Me'ayin simply because the Torah says it. Were he persuaded as a matter of fact about the eternal universe, you know, basically he could be machria and find the right interpretation of what Bereishis Bara Elokim means. So I think programmatically or methodologically, the quest, the challenge, the pursuit, is to figure out what do the psukim abrasius mean in light of what we take to be well-established scientific
fact. This is going to be my second question, and this goes back to the same issue of whether or not you're trying to say it actually derives from it, or if it's Chachmah equals Torah, and the texts are not relevant. And here you see again, Ramban is trying to fit it in, like trying to say that it comes from the actual Torah. That's a different...
Yeah.
Like, why does he need to do that if he believes this other claim?
I'll tell you why, because you do want to say that what's the Torah's...
In order to say what you said.
Let's take a step back for a second, right? The Torah, it's trying to communicate knowledge, right?
Yeah.
What?
Yes.
I mean, look, less man de pala, the psukim and braces are trying to communicate something.
No, I agree. I was thinking of that.
Right.
Yeah.
So they're trying to communicate something. So Ramban is just trying to give you an account of like how they're communicating Chachma. And he's saying, look, they're teaching you about the hilik matter. They're teaching you about, you know, everything that's created subsequent to something else derives from that other, that prior thing. It tells you that God created the world. All that's really important information. Now maybe, and this is the Ramban's point, is like Dhamma to Bereshis, there's only so much that can be communicated in Psukim. And you have to remember, Dibra Torah Kalashim B'nei Adam, and you're talking to like uneducated people, so like all the things the Rambam says about the anthropomorphisms in the Torah, like all that has to be applied also to the manner in which the Torah could communicate anything at a sophisticated level. But I think he's just trying to defend here a very limited claim, which is that look, the Torah is trying to convey basic principles of cosmology and science in the Psukim Abrashis.
And what do you mean? What does the word Torah mean in that sense?
The Torah?
Physical Torah?
Yeah, I just mean the Torah Shel Ksav here.
Right.
Because here he's just talking about...
The whole assertion that...
He's saying the Torah is a great entry point into gates of wisdom. The Haraya, Katan Shev Yisrael, knows things that Aristotle didn't know.
But you also think that at the same time, because
you're conflating two things. The first thing about the Chachmas HaTorah writ large, that he's saying Chavta Shel Torah. Then he just transitions. Like, let me give you some examples of where studying Torah is Meir HaSeinayim in communicating those Chachmas. Not in full extent.
We're studying the physical Torah, meaning that's a little bit of a jump. Right?
Correct. Here he's doing
all Chachma equals Torah, and those are the same thing.
Right.
Thing number two is, in studying the physical Torah, you can get the Chachma.
Right, it's giving you a leg up.
Right.
Let me show you how the Torah that we have and have access to through Masorah and Torah Shabbat is doing that. Right? Or is partially furthering that project and agenda.
Is that not the Azraeli question?
Well, no. Because the Azraeli question... So it is. You could, if you want to say that that's like the stage one of the Azraeli question, then the Ramban's doing that. You're just saying, look, elementary school education, kids learn Bereishis Bara Elokim Yesod Shamayim Ve'Esa Aretz. They're gaining some really important scientific, earth science, metaphysical insight about...
Well, actually, that's true. He has to know that at least that is true. Otherwise, the whole point... That
we have something that is advantageous doesn't apply. Because the Talmud Torah is just in the air, and there's no, we don't have anywhere else than anybody else. Right. I mean, you don't want to say it's all just sowed and only for like a Talmud Vasik, etc. That's the more advanced stuff. He's trying to say it pedagogically. Look, the Torah does partially achieve this aim in communicating basic truths about the real world through even our elementary school curriculum. That's this Katan Shev Yisrael idea. Pretty interesting. Okay. Now the Ramban, I'll just move through this very quickly. The Ramban gives us a few examples of scientifically where he thinks he could do this. I don't think I keep his hand. He says, if you read the Psukim and Bereishis carefully, you can see that the only thing that was created, Yesh Me'ayin, is these nekudos that are chusos migargir chardel.
What was that?
Well, a chardel is a kernel of mustard.
Okay.
So the idea is that most things in the world were created yesh me'yesh. So it wasn't like animals were created yesh me'ayin, or that the stars were created yesh me'ayin. Hashem created, some people call this the Big Bang, Ramban. Hashem created some sort of like really tiny thing, and from that thing he created everything else that existed. So it wasn't like whales came into existence yesh me'ayin, or that elephants came in yesh me'ayin, or even that human beings came in yesh me'ayin. Everything was created from things that were in existence from prior days of creation. Good. So he says, "Betchila bara Elokim shemayim ba'aretz." What does that mean, shemayim ba'aretz? What he created me efes hamuchla to me ayin gamur was a nekuda pchusa migargercha dochardol, a nekuda acheretz for the aretz. So two different like dots. Those had the potential from which the heavens and the earth could evolve or be formed, and from there he fashioned those things. Good. The Ramban works painstakingly through the Pesukim to try to derive facts about creation. So he gives...
Why is he giving it?
Because he's trying to show how the Torah itself is trying to convey chachma. It's trying to convey knowledge for a katan shav Yisrael to have the idea of my separations. He's not getting in like extremely detailed. He's not getting at like super sophisticated pieces of creation.
So he thinks that this is the pshat.
What?
He thinks this is the pshat.
Yeah, he thinks this is the pshat in the psukim.
So then, like, if let's say we disprove this exact scientific point, then does the pshat change?
Yeah, that means the Ramban has the wrong pshat. Ramban doesn't have a monopoly on pshat, does he?
You see, that's not really fair then, because then you're just like constantly just updating it to like whatever the current science says. You know what I mean?
Why is that?
Because it means that you could never really have derived it. You could never really have derived it.
Guys are obsessed with the Azraeli questions. Unbelievable.
I
know it's wrong with you guys.
All he's making is a literary point. He's making a literary point.
All terrible. You guys are making the unbelievable.
It's not the same thing as Ramban. Any ounce of the Israeli point than the other point, then it's all
meaningless. I disagree with that. I think.
Well, the Chachma that are pointed, so
I want to say two things. I think you guys are very much mired, stuck, enmeshed in the ideology that, like, there's like, what are scientists saying? What's the Torah saying? And, like, it's competition, right? One second. There's like this imperialist competition about who's going to dominate who. And who's going to show that who stole what from who? And we want to show that Einstein really stole everything from Bereshit.
That's what Ramban is doing.
No, he's not. Ramban's not doing that. That's the point. You guys are kind of, you're thinking about like, there's the morning Seder stuff, there's the afternoon stuff, and who's Yadol Yona, and who's Yadol Tachtona, and we're going to show that like, when we sit and learn, we're deriving. That's the way you guys are thinking. Okay? And I think that's the wrong way to think. One second, it's the wrong way to think. Like, that's the two arenas thing, right? It's like we're competing and we're trying to show the supremacy of the Torah. That's the wrong way of thinking, because actually, I think we live in a world where we have, maybe once upon a time we had a Masorah for everything, if the Ramban's right and if the Rambam's right. But at the point that we're at now, we don't. We're lucky to live in the 21st century where we have very good Masorah about Torah Shebichtav, Torah Shebaal Peh, and we also have very good Masorah from the empirical sciences of like, we think that scientists have made a lot of progress in, you know, the 3,000 years, or even if you just want to limit it to the modern era, a couple hundred years of like researching the natural world. They're probably not totally right. Probably many of the theories are inaccurate and will be updated. But we've made a lot of progress.
The Masorah?
What?
The
I just mean the Masorah of like refinement through laboratory experiments, right? So the state of that's in a good. So if you're optimistic about the achievements of science, in other words, you get on a plane and you don't think it's going to crash if it works well, So I take that means you believe that engineers know somewhat what they're doing. Or if you get on the GW bridge and don't think it's going to fall down underneath you, or you drive your car, or you sit in this building thinking that it, or you use your computer and you don't think it's going to blow up on you, then you have some confidence in the achievements of science. Yes?
Yeah.
Great. Then, isn't it only natural to think that you'd want to, if it's true that there's really one arena in the Torah as a manifestation of Chachma, isn't it natural for you to want to think that there's some reciprocity, or that like those, that true understanding of the world should be manifested in the, or should inform your reading of the Pesukim? Just like you think that facts about human psychology should inform your reading of the Pesukim.
Yes, the words mean something, it's a language behind the words that, like, you know, shine art does not mean a little atomic particle. Like, that means something, that when it says that somebody, you know, this
of course it means something.
The same art that's referring there is also, you know, not referring to we're walking on.
So that's a pshat question, you gotta figure it out. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying you just take science and read it in.
That's what you're doing, that's what Ron's doing. Anything, you have to stretch the limits of the words.
So maybe the Ramban's wrong. I don't think the Ramban had a monopoly on truth.
But there's no way of getting there. You're not going to find a way to describe.
What do you mean getting there? Say what you mean by getting there. Do you mean deriving it from there?
Not deriving. You found your scientific knowledge.
I think every day we make, we advance the understanding of Torah by leaps and bounds. Sorry, not every day. Every day we advance the understanding of Torah.
Right. Except for
in some way. What?
No.
In some way. Right? Some days by leaps and bounds. Some days we make small progress. So wouldn't we also be doing that by understanding the Pesukim of Bereishis in light of the, what we take to be true findings or true theories of science? Now, there is an important there's an important limitation here, which is Dibra Torah B'Lashon B'nei Adam, and the Torah was given for to be understood in a certain historical context. Just like we think that for every other piece of the Torah that we read. Whether it's the anthropomorphisms that the Rambam says, because the Nashim and the Taf can't understand the abstractions and they can't buy into it, they can't understand a religion, if there's no Charonaf of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if there's no ways of describing him physically, even though that's all false. So obviously there might be reasons for the Torah to give maybe super generic formulations that aren't trying to convey microscopic truths of science.
Rambam is doing that.
What?
Rambam is doing that. Saying this pasuk, this word.
So then you have beef with the Ramban's particular commitments of his hermeneutics. Just like we have sometimes for the Radak, and just like we have sometimes for Rashi, and just like we have sometimes for the Ibn Ezra, and just like we have sometimes for the Bechor Shor, and the Abarbanel, and the Ralbag. In the Dain al Mashen of Rose, you got to kind of understand it based off what you know.
The sentence that you just said at the beginning about how whatever our scientific understanding is, right? So
I mean, you could go Josh's route, which is to say these are different worlds, they're different arenas.
Rashid
Mayim says the Torah is trying to do something different.
I'm not trying to say that. I'm just saying, does it sound like there are no restrictions placed on our understanding by the text itself, which is basically means that at the end of the day you're just basically believing that the text means what we later find.
This is my point. You guys are thinking of it in terms of like there's like the Torah Mesorah, and then there's like the sign, and we're trying to like.
Here's what we do. Here's what we're going to do. The claim number one to me is Chachma Torah equals Torah.
I understand, Romy. Is your life so simplistic that you we have to? We have to.
It says so. Right.
I understand. Is your world so simplistic that? You look at Gemara and you're like, we know what it means. We know what the Torah says. We know what the tradition is. We know what the truth is about it. And now we're just applying it to our lives.
I know what the word Mullah means.
No, we're also doing our best.
Isn't the reason why we walk into Shir and walk into Seder and walk into Sigur to try to understand to the best of our knowledge what is being conveyed?
Yes.
So aren't we always refining our understanding of the Gemara? Aren't we advancing our understanding of Torah in some way?
Within the limits of the text.
Look, there are people who believe we're just trying to understand Rashi. We're just trying to understand Tosos. We're just trying to understand the Rambam.
Here's all I should say. Are there textual limits or not?
What?
Are there textual limits?
What do you mean, are there textual
limits? Are there limits to what you can interpret Rashi to be saying based on the text?
You're saying, what do you mean by limits? Are there rules?
Is it impossible? Can I make any claim and fit it into Rashi?
You can make any claim. Is it a good claim or is it a bad claim? It would only be a good claim if it satisfied certain canons of good interpretation. What are those? So maybe yes, some coherence with the tradition and system of interpretation internal to the Masorah of Judaism, consistent with facts we know about the real world. Right?
How do you decide when it's not doing that and it's playing the divisory question game?
Okay, I think you just said that.
But that's a kasha. That's a kasha. These are all important hermeneutical questions.
It renders the entire project just.
But isn't that true? So these are people who scoff at Torah Shebal Peh. These are the people the Rambam calls who are Machish Magideh. Oh, the Torah just means Pashup Shad and everything that Chazal understand it to be saying, that's all just revisionary. So you guys should know better than anyone else that there's deep hermeneutical questions about what makes for a good interpretation and, you know, how consistent has with the straightforward meaning and those are all kashas independent. Those are important questions that all exist and all have to be dealt with and grappled with, separate from anything the Ramban said in Torah Shem Tamima. No? Every time you talk about pshat and drash, and
it's just because you said some sentence about how whatever science demands to, we'll be able to read that into Parishi.
I'm saying we're trying to understand the Torah based off what we know from our Masorah, we're trying to understand the Torah.
Agreed.
So shouldn't all true pieces of Chachma inform our understanding of the Torah?
A lot of people would argue that you should read the Pshat. I don't believe this. I'm not on the other side of this. I'm just saying, a lot of people would argue to...
A friend of yours, yeah, you're asking for a friend.
I'm asking for the whole base message across the street. That's what I'm asking for. That you should read Bereishis and everything else, all other Torah, and... and accept what the shot or whatever you have to appreciate on its face or that's
no one will tell you so on its face. Every time Rashi says something, he's telling you something that's not on its face.
And then they say, and then they'll tell you there are certain Bali and Masora. I'm just saying, they'll tell you there's certain Bali and Masora that they have the authority to be able to you know, bend the text a little bit to what's reasonable.
I don't know what you mean by bending text. I agree with Ned's point that, of course, we believe there's some shot in the psukim. So you have to figure out. First of all, obviously, there's a lot of questions. What does the pshat mean? We don't know what these terms. Read the Ramah Nebuchim. Read the Mepharshim. The Bereishis Bara Elokim. What exactly is the Bishvila Torah Shini Kereishis? Like, what is that? Does it mean in the beginning? Does it mean that that's when time was created? Does it mean this is the most fundamental thing? Each word here has a universe of meaning, and we have to figure out the most compelling, the most precise, the best meaning. So there's a lot to figure out just at the realm of pshat. But haraya, all the pashtanim fight about what the pshat is. Right? And then even separate from pshat, you have to ask, what is the right interpretation, all things considered? So for example, we all agree... the chara api bayomahu, the pshat means that God will get angry. We could all agree what the pshat there means. But if you agree that Hashem doesn't have emotions, then the truth diverges from what the pshat is conveying. So all that has to be figured out here in Bereishis. That's all. Isn't that obvious to you?
Yes.
Right. So why am I getting such resistance?
What's the point of making it in court? What's the point of making Bereishis out of whatever in court with not pure yet? What's the point of the project? Why do we need that?
Why do we need to do it?
Yeah.
We don't need to do anything. You could sit and watch Netflix for your whole day. You don't. Why? Like, why do you study? Why are you studying Torah?
Why does it add to our Ramban's thesis of saying just leave it, let it be, let it be great, and then just let it be? Why do you have to read everything in?
I don't think I have to read everything out. My whole point earlier was that we don't know how much of Chachma the Torah is trying to communicate. The Ramban's point is that most of it can only be understood at the Kabbalah. But you have to figure out, what's the pshat trying to communicate, right? Why is the Torah conveying this to you?
What about the idea that...
How do you understand the psukim here in Bereishis?
I think that...
What's the Torah trying to communicate to you?
The fair thing to say is that the pshat level is...
Is it communicating falsehoods?
Falsehoods go away. It's not really
falsehoods about the facts of creation. Did God create the world?
Sure.
Why?
Why?
Why do you believe that? Is the Torah trying to communicate a fact about creation? Bereishis bara Elokim?
At least some.
What?
At least some, but not...
Okay, so why do you think it's trying to communicate a fact about that, but not a fact about the way human beings were created and the way animals were created, or...
It doesn't work.
What do you mean it doesn't work?
It doesn't work, because Linux language, you cannot make that fit into the theories of modern theory of evolution. It doesn't work.
Maybe evolution's wrong.
Okay, but that's already saying that the text has content that actually limits our understanding. That's very
different. No, I'm saying they have to... You have to make... I love how when you think about the pursuit of knowledge and the pursuit of truth, there are many inputs that you take in, and then you're trying to determine what is true. So you get all this stuff in the newspaper about what's going on in Israel. Aren't you trying to adjudicate what are the true facts?
Yeah.
Yes? So aren't you trying to adjudicate that for your pursuit of the knowledge that the Torah is trying to convey to you?
You're right, I don't see Chumash that way. I don't see the concept of that way. That's not what I do.
Excuse me?
That's not what I do.
What do you do?
Meaning, I have certain knowledge about the universe based off of scientific understanding. You have Torah.
Right, because you read Halachic Mind, and you're like, oh, epistemological pluralism, and like, you know, there's the Torah Lechud, and there's the scientist Lechud, and even though I get on a plane, like, I believe the scientists are right, but like, the Torah is just trying to do something different. Is that your point?
Yeah, but your point is that...
Is the Torah not trying to convey truth?
You also believe that the scientists are right. You just told me that you might revise your understanding of scientific knowledge based on what you know in the Torah.
All right, depending on what you think is... So, if I thought the pshat in the psukim was... let's say, the truth, or that's what the Torah is trying to convey, then I would revise my theories of science on that basis. Like, for example, one reason why I don't believe, like, a pure naturalistic view of the universe is because the Torah says to the contrary.
Yeah. It's not just the Torah says to the contrary, that the entire system of the Torah makes absolutely no sense if you say... That's like a big fact. That's not a little question about when the moon was created. That's a question about, you know, the meaningfulness of existence and God's existence.
But I would say more than that. I would say, like, part of the reason why I'm inclined to accept certain scientific theories is because they seem to be, to some degree, endorsed by the Torah.
I think that's silly.
That's silly?
Yeah.
Why is it silly?
Meaning, it just doesn't... Why would you look toward that?
I think if I were, let's say, living in the 20th century and the debates were around between the eternal universe theory of just like a universe that's static versus the universe that has an origin, I would be predisposed to believe a scientific view that's endorsed by the Torah rather than one that's not endorsed by it. And like the Rambam said, vice versa also. I'd be inclined to read the psukim, again, assuming you don't believe the psukim are just trying to communicate things for people leaving Mitzrayim, you know, couldn't understand the framework of science that we have, putting that aside, I'd be inclined to read the psukim in a way that tends towards coherence with what we take to be true facts of science. Now again, I'm a skeptic. I do think that I agree with like the Kuhnian theory, like the Kuhnians and like all the stuff in philosophy of science that science is always being revised, we're realizing mistakes, maybe there are systematic mistakes in the best theories of science, and there are problems in our theories. All that being factored in, and I think most of the science will be revised. But for the theories that we think are very well-grounded, and that we have the right framework for them, I'd be inclined to think that the Torah is consistent, like we should interpret the Torah consistent with them.
If it's just shot in the text, then it would have to have that from, you know, T0.
Right.
Depends on the definition of pshat.
Of course, it depends on the definition of pshat, but you can figure out the definition of pshat based on
the definition of pshat is what it meant in T0.
Right. So,
why would Hashem communicate falsehoods?
Why would Hashem establish a doctrine of worship that is somehow maintained certain falsehoods?
I don't know.
Like, that Karbana maintains certain falsehoods.
It's not. It's like, why is it falsehoods?
Rama's theory of
why is that? What's falsehood there?
The most ideal form of grand service is out carbono.
It's not falsehood. That's just pedagogical. It's Azraeli stuff. You know, this is kind of where people are in a certain position of the world, and this is what's necessary for spiritual worship.
Or, you know, Rama and Laura previously argues, according to one reading, that tefillah is actually effective as a falsehood.
Okay. But you're just getting into hermeneutical questions about why does... I'm totally fine with somebody saying all of my sabratius is there just to... give some coherent account of how things could have been created, because given where B'nai Yisrael were when the Torah was given, there was no way for them to wrap their minds around atoms and, you know, this cooling and heating and formation of galaxies. So Torah just gives you a very basic story. One could have said that, and you could have said it's the equivalent of Charon Api B'Ishahu and anthropomorphism.
Yeah.
What?
Would you say Charon Api is a falsehood?
One second. What? Ram says it's a necessary truth, it's a necessary belief, not a true belief.
That's what I was saying about
it. Right.
So I think there are certain necessary beliefs about aspiration.
Right. So you could say that.
Yeah.
My point is that's clearly not what the Ramban believes. Right? So you could go into that island and you could say that's how I'm interpreting Bereshis. I'm saying I think that's a very bad project.
I think this is a bad project.
The Ramban's project?
Yeah.
Why?
Because
why is your project...
constantly revising. There's no constant knowledge. There's probably nothing.
What do you mean constantly revising? Every time. Well, so you're anti-Kiddush.
You're not adding any information. You're just like reading. You're just totally...
You're trying to get to the right interpretation of the Pesukim.
But you're not understanding anything.
Maybe the Ramban's wrong about all the Charon Api stuff. Was the Myrna Bufim given to you at Sinai? He might be wrong.
Do you think he's wrong?
What?
Do you think he's wrong?
He might very well be wrong. Every day I'm trying to understand what the Torah means and gain better understanding of it. You have like this very static view of like, you decided this is what it means and you're kind of stuck with it.
You know.
So you decided...
Before coming to Rishal, and then coming after Rishal has not left with any new information.
What?
You have not left with any new understanding.
I haven't.
If I come to Rishal...
What do you mean? It's a really important piece of data in my understanding of the world.
But you're not adding any data to it. Yeah.
Of course I am. If you took away Bereshis, I would have a different understanding of the world as it exists than my understanding of the world with Bereshis and the inquiry into like scientific theories. Because if we're always trying to figure out the dialectic between like, here's what the Torah communicates, here's what science says, and we think those are both important inputs into understanding, let's say, just Hashem's design or like the truth.
Have you personally delved deeply into Masa Prishi or Masa Merkava?
What does that even mean?
Have you delved seen the secrets of the universe? Right. No, so I'm curious. Like when you look into Bereshit, do you see that as a only what physics has discovered, or as you said, there's more to be known.
For which, Maisa Bereshit or Maisa Merkava?
Say Maisa Bereshit.
It depends which physics you're talking. Of course, there's more there than just what physicists postulated. I think Ned made this point earlier on that physicists don't claim to do anything more than physics. The Ramban thinks that Hashem creating the world and the ontological dependence of creatures on the Creator, all that's part of my sabratius. Damage the veracity of Torah when you think it's just there to communicate falsehoods.
I don't think so.
You don't think you damage the veracity of Torah when you think it's just there to communicate falsehoods?
If you know that, then you're not communicating falsehoods.
What's it trying to communicate, in your opinion? What are you reading when you read Bereshit?
Like,
shallow.
Yes.
Well, yeah.
First paragraph, structure.
God plan. What? Wait, what? What do you know?
Oh, I accept one.
What knowledge?
That's what I was saying about the assumptions.
Wait, I understand. What knowledge are you gaining when you study Torah? Just a gift card for the farm sale? So that the Mashgiach can say, oh, you know Bereishis Aleph now, so you get a gift card to the farm sale? What? When you get it to Shemayim after 120, will Bereishis Aleph have communicated to you true and immutable information?
He was talking about the destiny of man, what man is supposed to be. It's man position in the universe, axiologically. Not like...
Any factually true stuff?
God,
no, he means that if he's saying what human nature.
Any non-normative moral stuff? Non-moral.
Just like the fact.
You think like day and night is like not a real thing either? It's like
as distinct.
No, the Torah just happened to get
it right. Right, the Torah just got it right. or in Chosha, that's just
Yeah,
kosher,
it's not a thing.
Wow.
It's not a thing. So you can go into like every single question.
I'm trying to understand, what's the purpose of the Torah conveying, do you think that it's none of it's like meant to be conveying truths?
About the natural.
Yeah.
As we experience it now.
Okay. I'm just asking, what led you to that conclusion?
What led you to that?
What did you say, Josh?
I was in the plane.
Yeah.
You're
getting them nervous.
Yeah.
And what do you do with, like, it does say that, like, Rishi Bara, Kima, Shaman, Ara, so, like, there is, like, this, you could say it's not the goal of Rishi just to delve deep into it, but it still, like, acknowledges certain truths. You'd have to maybe interpret that. It's like, we're like, we'll say it, but we're not going into specifics because this is the primary goal of Torah.
So I think if you're going to tell a creation story, it's going to be about creation. That's unavoidable.
I'm just saying, why is the Torah communicating it?
Why? You know, I take the response approach because I need to fill a Shabbos.
I mean, that's kind of our sort of claim to Eretz Yisrael. That's like the way Rashi reads the Medrash.
Those are necessary things. They don't have creation.
I mean, you could go that route. I just don't see any reason to go that way. That's all. Like, what's motivating? I'm curious, what's motivating you to want to go that way?
I think that I have a strong sense of what text means. And
I don't think you do.
From those words.
What?
Deviating from those words is.
Who's deviating from those words?
When you say Shemayim Ba'aretz, are.
So Yom Echad, you also think it means like one day, even though there's no, like, there's no solar day yet?
What Yom Echad means?
Yeah.
Well, that's the question. What you asked me to. Shop, like,
what
the story is
just one day?
It's
just one day?
Maybe.
Before, like, what defined a day?
I don't know.
Right.
It's just a day.
Okay. You
never, or it's not enough.
You both are, right? You both just take things that you know, or just dead takes, you take the signs that you know, and you say, oh, can't it, so I must, yeah, I'm sure to interpret
it. I'm
saying, okay,
I'm
saying,
okay, you approach it from an earlier point. You have to get the truth with it. What kind of text this is. And you're saying, let's just treat it as, you know, this is describing definite aspects of reality. I'm saying, draw a line earlier.
Yeah. We could think about it more. We should think about it more. I think you're really just lazy. Like, you don't want to do that. You don't want to do the hard work of like trying to figure out what the
community
like. He was like, oh, there's just this, like, it just means kipshuto. What do you mean? It's like when their masbid, the briskerov, like, briskerov was a gadol because he said pshat. The pshat that he said was different than the pshat that people said before him. No, like, he said real pshat. They didn't say pshat. you're saying, it's kipshuto. That's what it means. That's all there is in the maaser. And you don't say it for any other part of the Torah. For every other part of the Torah, you're willing to sit here and figure out, like, what did the psukim of Kriyat Shema mean? You don't rely on their cigar.
But the same way I say that, okay, Kriyat Shema, you know, he can do whatever. The same way I say that doesn't mean Aristotelian physics. Same thing here. I say it's not the Aristotelian physics.
I don't think it means Aristotelian physics either. I'm not even sure that it means Newtonian physics or Einsteinian physics.
Now, isn't your reading when you're reading?
Maybe they won't know the troop shot in Bereishis until the year 3000. when some physicist discovers the true unifying theory of everything in the universe. But our job is to figure out the best interpretation in light of what we know. And here's the second point I wanted to make. This is a long first point. About the ideology of the two arenas. The second point I want to make is just that I think one could have a view about progress of knowledge where you get closer to true knowledge. So even if, like, Newtonian physics was wrong and, you know, the table of elements revised Aristotelian stuff, you know, maybe, like, we're getting more accurate and understanding it better, not that everything we say in science is false until we have the one true theory. So yeah, it could be that as we gain better knowledge of the world around us, we're getting to more accurate and truer interpretations of what Maisabracius is conveying to us. And so we get better and better knowledge of what the Psukim are conveying as time goes on.
I just don't see any way of reading the Psukim in a way that would maintain fidelity to both.
And isn't the way that you read the Psukim Parishis like...
He's got to rethink his life, no?
What?
All right.
Isn't the way that you read the Psukim Parishis like to be talking about all this, like, Adam 1, Adam 2, human nature, human condition stuff, just as difficult to read into the Pshat of Rishit, and you have to actually kind of read into that. You have to, like, you don't read Rishit and think that it says that. You have to, like, make it fit in the Psukim. Not that, I don't think it's wrong, but, right? That's not, like, an obvious reading. So why is it any less likely that there's a way to read some scientific element or whatever into Rishit than it is to read something that's totally not scientific and seems to be totally irrelevant to the Psukim of Rishit you're talking about into the reading of Rishit?
What exactly are you talking about? You said a non-scientific position. So Ned said, like, you don't get science. You get like an observation. Go to the rub. Do something to that. Ned claims. You know, I'm not saying. 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 I
akin to the Pacific. No?
But there are. So just have the rub. Okay, even if you said the rub is not allowed with the pshat, there are other thinkers who, let's say, are, let's say, reading the pshat very precisely in line with, let's say, how the language works and, like, define,
like who?
Structure. If you look at, like, Leo Strauss, let's say, he has essays and stuff.
But what is anyone who's reading?
I'm just saying, but it's, like, very in line with the pshat. And it's, like, very, like,
but I think
very different days and stuff like that. And I think it's,
I think you could probably align, like, I don't think there's anything that I would say that would be so contrary to the pshat. I think I do agree that an important canon of good interpretation is that it should be coherent with the straightforward meaning of the words. But I'm not suggesting anybody should mutilate the straightforward meaning. I think this project that I'm suggesting is totally consistent with fidelity to the simple meaning of the words of the Torah.
Why are we expecting so much out of simple words of the Torah? Like, at the one hand, it should serve the purpose of communicating. Like,
you gotta go. Yeah. Hold on, 1 second. We'll
messages
get back to you
that are meaningful to establishing basic ideas for, like, little children to understand about how the world. Really, how the world was created. And then at the same time, you should also expect the text to, at face value, be exactly mappable to some of the deepest principles of physical science and metaphysics. Why should we expect so much from the text, and rather than saying that perhaps there's an esoteric
I agree
to this text? Because there is this idea that...
I think that's what Herman's saying. Herman's just saying, well...
I agree that on an esoteric level, you can fit whatever you want into it. I'm just saying you have to have some... The text has to be the text. You can't just... If you have to be engaging in, like, eisegesis all the time, you can't do that. The text is text.
The text is the text. Okay, we could end on that note. I just think that's... I don't disagree in substance with what you're saying, but
you're saying that the things that inform our reading of text are broader than we came out to be.
Exactly. Just like when you read a text message from somebody, there's facts that you know about them that help you understand the straightforward meaning of what they're saying. So too,
okay,
when you're trying to understand the straightforward meaning of what the Torah is conveying...
In terms of humanities, I don't think this is the
You don't think?
I think that this kind of information assists us in this project.
Right. So you just, but you agree that that's the, that's in
that
contrast to the Ramban's project.
Yeah.
Right.
What was that last point? You're saying that it's not a valid motivation.